Today's gospel reading is from Luke chapter 17, verse 11 to 19. Be thankful. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, traveling from Galilee to Samaria. He came into a small town. 10 men met him there. These men did not come close to Jesus because they all had a harmful skin disease. But they called him to him, "Jesus, Master, please help us." When Jesus saw the men, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." While the 10 men were going, they were healed. When one of them saw that he was healed, he went back to Jesus. He praised God in a loud voice. Then he bowed down at Jesus' feet and thanked him. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 10 men were healed. Where are the other 9? Is this Samaritan the only one who came back to thank God?" Then Jesus said to him, "Stand up and go on your way. You were healed because you believed." This is the gospel of the Lord.
I think this is one time I had to raise the mic up. Well, thank you, Ezra, for reading that. So kids, have you heard of the story of the 10 lepers? Yeah, I see if you, and adults, have you heard of the story? And you know, you've heard it, and if the beamer works, we'll see it in a different way later. But just to kind of give you a little bit of a background on what's happening, we hear a lot of terms that we are not used to. You know, lepers, what is that? You know, going to different places, seeing different people. So just to kind of give you the setting so then you can hold on to that and then understand the story. So Luke was telling us that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and he had passed between Samaria and Galilee. And Galilee was a Jewish territory, or Jewish place, part of Israel. And Samaria was also part of the northern part. And these two parts were not happy with each other because the Samaritans worshipped God in a different way. They had their different temple. They had... Everything was just different. So the Jews and the Samaritans didn't like each other. And they were considered to be not nice, to put it simply. So you can see that as Jesus is passing to this through this middle place, that it is a place of tension and uncertainty, because anything can happen in this place. And that's when you see the lepers coming and Jesus coming from the other side. What's that? No, we'll do it at the end, where the gospel was supposed to be read. So, now who are these lepers? What do they, why are they called lepers? Do you know, kids? Well, it's a little bit more than rashes. It was a really, 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 really bad disease, which started off in their skin, would go on to their various body parts. They couldn't feel the pain, so then they couldn't feel when there was infections and things like that. And this meant they couldn't stay with their families. They had to be living outside of the city gates. Imagine that if somebody caught this disease and they would be thrown out of the city gates, and they had to live with people like themselves. And it was just not, okay, we have to live outside, but they lived in constant pain. And this was not a disease that they could get cured of in that time. It is different now. And it was just death for them. That was their end. And while they were living as well, it was like being dead. That was how painful and terrible this disease was. So it was not only just the physical problems that they had, but they had social issues as well, that they couldn't mingle with their own family or with their own people. And they couldn't worship with others. So they were not identified as a Jew or as a Samaritan. They were just identified as the lepers. And if they were passing by and if there were other people coming, they had to either ring a bell or say, unclean, unclean, so that other people would know that there were lepers coming and they could walk separately or walk far away from them. This was the life of a leper at that time, in the biblical times. So they couldn't worship, like I said, so they were completely away from their families, from friends, from people. And it was at this time that when the lepers came, they recognized who was coming. It was Jesus. And they said, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." It was just not a cry just for healing, for physical healing. It was a cry for complete restoration, to restore them back to society, to restore them back to their families, back to things that they could do. And as you know, as the story goes on, Jesus tells them to go and show themselves to the priest. What does that mean? So at that time, the priests were the checkers to see, okay, if at all they were healed or they were okay. The priests would check and give them the go-ahead to say, okay, you can go back to your families or your towns now. So Jesus didn't say, "You are healed." He said, "Go and show yourself to the priests." So he said that 10 of them went, but as the story says, one came back, fell down on God's feet, Jesus' feet, and said, "Thank you, praise God, for the Son of God has healed me." And that is one out of the 10 lepers who had come back. Now, the theme of our service is thanksgiving and gratitude. And it's just not as simple as when you get a sweetie, you say thank you. It's important. But it's a different kind of seeing. And it's the difference between walking around by just not seeing what's missing, but really looking at each and everything and giving thanks to God and seeing God's grace in each and every part of that that life. Now, the 9 of the 10 lepers saw their healing, but the one saw the healer. The 9 received the gift, but the one returned to the giver of this gift. And it was in that moment of turning back or falling at Jesus' feet in thanksgiving that the Samaritan received something deeper than just the physical healing. Jesus said, "Rise and go, for your faith has made you well." Now, the Greek term that's used here is sozo, and it's just not just physical healing or just being healed. It means to be saved, to be made whole, to be restored. And this is what Jesus' healing offered, not only physical healing, but a complete restoration. Gratitude just didn't change his circumstances, but changed his very soul. Now, there's an author that I really love and enjoy reading about. It's called Anne Voskamp. I don't know how many of you have heard of her. She described how the act of thankfulness and gratitude developed in her life. And she began writing down simple things every day to see or to show where God has given her things to be thankful for. And then out of that came her book, 1,000 Gifts. And she had 1,000 gifts to say thankful for that whole year. And it's as simple as, you know, when you're sitting at the kitchen table, if the light just shines on you, thankful for that warmth, for that light. Thankful for fresh bread that's coming out of the oven for those of us who bake or you bake. It's those simple things. It might seem very trivial in the beginning, very small things for, you know, thank you for the clothes. Thank you that I can go to school. Thank you that I have friends. Thank you that I have a nice school bag. Thank you that I have, a good laptop to work and to study. It might seem very simple and trivial, but it's that act of giving thanks for even the small things and doing it regularly that really opens up that space to see all the bigger things as well. And it's really opening up God's presence in our life. So this was really echoing what Jesus taught, that gratitude was just not saying thank you for the blessings, but it was the posture of our heart and the trust we have in Christ. And it was saying, "Even here, Lord, I see you. And even now, Lord, I trust you, even in whatever situation it might be. Now, it's not only in the Bible that, you know, it says about giving thanks and how important it is and why. And it, also research and science says that practicing gratitude is good for your health, has lots of benefits. It improves your mental health. It reduces depression and anxiety. It helps people to sleep better, stronger immunity, lower blood pressure. It improves relationships. And it also improves our resilience for things. And gratitude that shifts the focus from what's missing to what's meaningful. So science tells us that saying being grateful and thankful is important and has good benefits. The Bible tells us that it is important to give thanks to God. So it just doesn't change our mood and our, you know, physical well-being, but it changes us as a whole person. In our hearts and in our minds, just like it did for the Samaritan man. Now, it is easy to give thanks when everything is going okay, when we have a full life, you know, kids are doing great. It's easy to give thanks then. But what about giving thanks in those really hard times? I can't even imagine giving thanks at that moment because I'm in a pit at that time, and I don't see that there's somebody outside there to pull me out, or I don't see that there's a ladder hanging in that pit. I just see, oh, I'm in a pit, God. And it's so hard to imagine, how can I give thanks because I'm at this position? So it's when we can't see that outcome, and we know that we have to go through this hard time. It's at that moment when you're already giving thanks for what God is about to do or how God is going to take us through this moment is what gratitude is, and that is an act of faith. Gratitude is also an act of worship to God. So like the 10 lepers walking before they saw their healing, because they weren't healed at that moment. They were going to the priest, and on their way they got healed before they saw the full miracle. And often it's that at that moment when we are giving thanks to God, in that hard moment is when the healing and the miracle already begins. And it's just not, it doesn't just, the story doesn't just remind us that gratitude, you know, for a moment, it is a way of lifestyle, it's a way of living, it's a way of giving thanks for every single thing. Now, going back to that 1,000 gifts the author wrote in her book, and I did that for some time. I think almost a year I did that. And there were simple things like so there'll be like three things that are round, something with fabric. And I was like, this is hard to give thanks for, you know, things like that. And there was one day it was on something about a fabric or a clothing. And at that time, when David was really young, it was when his socks would just go missing. There would be just one. You know, either the socks is lost or the dog has eaten it and spit it out. It was just, and I was getting annoyed with the single sock that I had to kind of, you know, and buying new ones. And then I thought, you know, we never even knew that he would be able to walk. You know, he was delayed in his milestones. He had different, you know, developmental issues. But he was walking all over the place. He was running he was putting on sock, taking it out, losing it. And even though that was an annoyance for me, and even though it was, oh, this, you know, I've got already another two boys who also lose, or even including Bobby, who lose their socks and stuff. But that simple thing, that prompt of, a fabric or something, I can't remember exactly how it was, but that reminded me that I thank you, God, you know, for this missing sock, because David can walk. And it's in those simple things that we start off, that we look at the larger picture. We don't, you know, small things that annoy us, it's still things that we can be thankful for. Now, the Samaritans, like I said, just didn't say thank you. You know, the Samaritan returned, worshiped God, and followed him. Now, that turns our attention from the gift to the giver, and looking at who that giver really is. Now, every day we are surrounded by quiet miracles, the breath that we take, the people who love us, the forgiveness that we receive, the presence of Christ that sustains us. These are all gifts that we sometimes take them for granted. Now, a question to you. What would change in your life if you began to notice these small things and you name those blessings? What if you made space to pause in a day and say, thank you, Lord? And again, it's easy to give thanks in good times. It's easy to give thanks for big things. But it's those small things that is difficult. Now, just coming to close, 9 men walked away healed, but one walked away being transformed. So let us be like that one who came back. People who live with open eyes, open hearts, our hearts lifted to God, and our lives marked by gratitude to God. Amen. So we've heard about what thankfulness and gratitude, and we have, you know, unpacked the story a little bit. And I've given you one example for my life that I've been thankful for. Now we have two people that are going to give us a little bit of a testimony on how thankfulness has impacted their life. So Annalise.
Yes, it's working, okay. Makes it a little less formal. I didn't know you were going to talk about that book and about writing down these things that you're thankful for. That was not part of the testimony that I had thought of or prepared, but I have done it for quite a while, and I found that when you start writing down even the little things, what it brought me was that I realized that everything is grace. Everything, every little thing that happens to us, it's all grace. So it's a good thing to try. Now, I was asked to give a testimony on being thankful. And that was a challenge to choose something, which one. So what I want to share with you is that for quite a while, I have started the day, sometimes even before I get up, with mainly three things. First of all, thank you, Lord, for a new day. Second thing, would you please teach me to hear your voice, that I might hear your whispers, so that I might know where to go, what to do. And would you refill me with your spirit so that I'll have the strength to do it as well and the guidance to do it? Those three things went with me for quite a while, still go with me. And before the summer, I was at Cape and Race. Some of you may have heard of this. And I joined in for a week just to be there and to experience it. And I was in a worship service at the end of the evening. That's Bible school, and these are all young adults. So it's a whole crowd, like 100 young adults. And I was one of the very few sort of more mature, older people. During the worship, I was standing at the end of the room, and all of a sudden, I hear this tremendous crying. Somebody's really, really, really crying, really bawling out their eyes. And as I turn around, I see it's a girl, and she's being comforted by another girl. And so I think, okay, somebody's looking after her, that's good. So I keep worshiping, and after a while, I hear that it's not so much bawling anymore, but it's still sniffling. And I turn around, and I see that she's on her own. And then I get this little nudge. Go and talk to her. And I'm like, no, I don't know her. No, no, no. And again, go on, go and talk to her. And I go, no, this is weird. She's not looking. She's got friends here. It's okay. Go on. Go and talk to her. Three times. Very gently, three times. So I'm thinking, okay, here we go. So I approach her and I say, hey, would you like to have a chat? Yes, please. Immediately, she said, yes, please. And so we went out and we went for a walk and we had a long talk. And she really opened up and she shared many things that she was struggling with, that she was going through. And one of the things that she was going through and struggling with was that she was not sure if God really heard her. Did he really see her? And so when I could say to her, well, I was standing in the back of the room, and I got this nudge, go and talk to her, three times, that was an answer to prayer for her, that God did see her, and that he approached somebody else to go and talk to her and minister to her. So it was an answer to prayer for her, which was amazing and something to be thankful for. And it was also an answer to prayer for me, because I'd been praying, Lord, would you help me to hear your voice, to hear your whispers? And I did. I heard it and I acted on it. And it was just so amazing. And so that was like the highlight of the week for me, that moment that I had heard, that I'd actually picked up on his whisperings, and that I'd gone out and was a blessing to this girl. And then I also realized that the Bible says two things: praise God and give thanks. Praising is saying, Lord, you are wonderful for who you are. Giving thanks is saying, Lord, you are wonderful for what you've done for me. And so this was praising and giving thanks. And the good thing about giving thanks is that when you express it, I mean, when you have something really nice happening to you, something amazing, and you're so happy about it, what do? You go and tell people, right? You tell them about this wonderful thing that happened to you, and it increases the joy. So in giving thanks, by sharing that, the testimony, it increases the joy. So today is the third time for me to give thanks, because I get to share this with you. And it's, again, it made me realize how wonderful this was. Praise the Lord. Evelyn.
So good morning. So guys, you were not the only ones with a last minute request. Thank you for doing the movements very well. So my last minute request today was to give a testimony. So here I am, and I brought something. So who of you has seen the movie Inside Out? Yeah, me too. So I brought something, and I need five children to help me out. Come. So in this movie, there are some emotions. This is a nasty one. It's disgust. Can you hold it so you can show it to the people? And I brought another one. This one is sadness. Can you keep it for me? Yeah, you can. Yeah, come. Ooh. I also brought anger. Yes. I brought fear. You keep it for me. Yeah. And I brought joy. Thank you. Now you show it to the people. So I couldn't refuse to tell something, because only this week I discovered something about myself that I was a little bit hesitant to give God thanks for my circumstances, because, yeah, I think they can be taken away. So why in the first place thank for it? So, and God really showed me that everything that is good, like it says in James, comes from God, because God is good. It shows his character. And by thanking God for the things he gives, I get to know him better. So it is good to, in the morning or evening, thank God for three things, yes, but also the realization that it tells me something about him and about the things that are to come that really blessed me. So it says in Philippians that we can bring all the nasty things, like I have a lot, sad, bad, ugly things I see in my work or in my life, like the sadness, the anger, the disgust, and the fear. I can bring it to God, but also with the thanksgiving, which gives joy and also more love for God. That's what I wanted to share. Thank you.